I would like to call the September 5th, 2019 Planning and Zoning Meeting to order. Ms. Burns, may we have roll call, please?
Yes. Mr. Tuohy.
Here.
I am here. Ms. Carroll. I will move on. Ms. Lowe.
Here.
Mr. McMahon.
Present.
Mr. Stanton.
Here.
Mr. Strodman.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rushing.
Here.
Ms. Russell. We have seven. I will reevaluate as others join us. Ms. Russell.
Present.
Ms. Carroll.
Present.
We have nine. We have a quorum.
Thank you, Ms. Burns. Mr. Zenner, are there any changes to the agenda?
Yes. Earlier this afternoon, we received a request from the applicant, or at least notification from the applicant, for case number 180-2019, which is the State Farm Block Number 2 plat, that they would like to table that item for a period of 2 weeks to our September 19th meeting. The applicant is here, or the applicant's representative and legal counsel, to speak to that item. However, we will have just a brief overview of the area in question when we get to that point. But that is an item that was shown under preliminary plats and now would be moved to tabling requests.
Thank you. Any comments on the agenda? If not, I'll take a motion. Ms. Russell?
I move to table case number 180219 to the September 19th Planning and Zoning Commission meeting.
At this moment, we're just moving to approve the agenda.
I'll move that one, too.
I'll second whatever whatever Lee said. I'll second that.
Mr. McMahon moves to second the agenda. I'll take a thumbs up. Unanimous. Approval of minutes. Everyone should have gotten a copy of the July 18th, 2019 meeting minutes. Are there any edits, changes to those minutes? Mr. Stanton.
I move to approve the minutes for July 18th meeting.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Mr. Strodman, thank you for that second. Thumbs up on approval of minutes. Unanimous. Thank you. So moving on to our first section of the evening, which is tabling. Mr. Zenner, you said we get a brief overview of the case?
Just a brief overview.
Okay.
So our property here is the State Farm Subdivision Block 2. It is a preliminary plat located at 4700 South Providence Road. As you can see here on the graphic presented, this is 102, almost 103 acre tract of land in the southeast corner of Providence Road and the extension of Southampton State Farm Parkway. They are requesting a three-lot preliminary plat. We have published the staff report for this. However, as I indicated, we did receive a request to table the item for 2 weeks. There are a number of moving parts with this, and the applicant is here this evening to discuss that if necessary, but to save us all time, we've got two property owners involved in this and three parties. One of the parties is desiring to just get a little bit of additional clarification on something shown on the preliminary plat before they take final action, and in order to allow them an opportunity to do some additional internal review, the request has been precipitated. Staff is not objectionable to the request to table for 2 weeks. The applicant can respond to the standard question of Mr. McMahon, will it be enough? Based on what we have discussed today, we believe it would be enough. And if so, the staff report will not need to be changed. It will just be updated with a revised Planning Commission hearing date on it, but the content in the report will probably stay the same. So at this point, we are suggesting that the Planning and Zoning Commission support the request to table to September 19 to allow the applicant and their parties to further review the document that's being presented before the commission for a recommendation of approval or denial.
Thank you, Mr. Zenner. Are there any questions for staff at this time?
I'd like to thank staff for pre-addressing my question that I'm going to ask of these owners. Thank you.
Any additional questions or comments? Or, if there are any public comments that might give us more information, if you can give us your name and address for the record, that would be appreciated.
Fred Carose, Engineering Surveys and Services, 1113 Fay Street, Columbia, Missouri. I'm just here to answer any questions if anyone has any.
Mr. McMahon.
Is that enough time?
We hope it is.
Okay.
I'm doing everything in my power to make sure it moves forward then, but it is okay. Slightly.
The reason I ask this repetitively is just to help our citizens and the council, because most of the time we're right back where we're supposed to be, date certain, and that's great, but sometimes we keep getting moved and moved and moved, and we're setting aside time. That's why I'm bringing it up.
And if how fast I work today, hopefully will precipitate that moving onto the 19th.
I wish you great luck there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? I see none. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any additional public comment? Seeing none, we'll close public comment. Commissioner discussion, Mr. Stanton.
There's no additional discussion necessary. I would like to entertain a motion. As it relates to case 180-2019, I move to table this until the September 19th meeting.
Second.
Second by Ms. Rushing. Thank you. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, Ms. Burns, may we have roll call, please?
Yes. Mr. Tuohy.
Yes.
My vote is yes. Ms. Carroll.
Yes.
Ms. Lowe.
Yes.
Mr. McMahon.
Yes.
Mr. Stanton.
Yes.
Mr. Strodman.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rushing.
Yes.
Ms. Russell.
Yes.
9-0, motion carries.
Thank you. Recommendation for tabling will be forwarded to city. Do we forward that to city council? No, we just register it and move.
It's been received.
Been received. Now we're going to move on to public hearings. Case 176-2019, a request by Cochran Engineering on behalf of Columbia Mall, LLC, Dillard's, Inc., JCPenney Properties, Inc., and Dayton Hudson Corporation for approval of a PD plan major amendment to the Columbia Mall CP plan to split an existing 39.75-acre lot into two lots, and for approval of a design adjustment to Section 29-51F3 to allow a lot line through an existing structure. The approximately 66.92-acre property is located at the southwest corner of Stadium Boulevard and Bernadette Drive. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Ms. Chairman. As you had stated, this is a request for an amended PD plan or amended CP plan, and I'll kind of touch on a little bit of history there on this project and on this site going forward. This is a public hearing. It was advertised. Postcards were sent out for public information meetings and also for this public hearing tonight. There are kind of three parts of this. There's an amendment to the PD plan. There's also adoption of a new statement of intent, and there's also a design adjustment that we'll discuss. Just in case you're not familiar with the site, this is the Columbia Mall. It's approximately 67 acres. This includes the entire site that is owned currently by the owners that you had stated in the opening comments. You have I-70 to the far north there, but the site's generally bound by Stadium, Worley, and Bernadette, and also Fairview on the west. So this site was actually zoned originally to a plan district, which at that time was a CP, which is plan commercial, in 1984, and it did have a CP plan. Generally allowed all C1 uses. There's been some revisions over the years, notably a couple expansions for Target and Dillard's, which have never taken place, but they are still part of the approved CP plan. There's been other minor amendments done administratively for, you know, entrance revisions and some other small features on that site. The most recent of the larger expansions was 2007, and that's technically kind of what we're revising tonight. So that's the current version. This major amendment would revise that version. So as part of the changes to the PD plan go, generally there's only two things that we're considering tonight. Everything else would be the same as the currently approved plan. I think it's important to note that no new building construction is being requested with this plan. What the primary reason for this plan was is to create an additional lot for the previous Sears store. And that's what you see here outlined in blue. That is a currently existing lot one of the Columbia Mall administrative plat, so on and so forth. But the important part there is that the request would create a new lot. So two lots out of one existing lot. The red dashed line in there would be the new boundary between those two lots. So you can see kind of splits the old Sears store off of the main Columbia Mall building. Also includes a little bit of the off-street parking for that site. Just a couple notes with that. That lot wouldn't have direct access, but they do have an access easement across the mall. So no specific reason for concern there. The lot line, as you can see, does go through the building and also goes through parking lot. That's important because per the UDC, you actually can't have a new lot line or a building built over a lot line. A structure. And per the UDC, a parking lot is a structure. So to actually get the new lot created as they are proposing here, they did have to request a design adjustment, and I'll come back to that. But generally speaking, aside from the design adjustment request, the creation of this new lot, which would be considered kind of a replat, is consistent with the development pattern in this site. We don't see any detrimental impacts necessarily with this replat. And just real quick, I probably should explain too. So because this is a PD plat, it is also serving as a preliminary plat. Or I'm sorry, because it's a PD plan, it's also serving as a preliminary plat for the purposes of creating these new lots. So along with this, there will be a final plat, but it will be going to council only along with this request. So just FYI there. And this is kind of a zoomed in view. You see a little bit better the red line there designating the new lot location. This was not included in the packet because this came in early this week, but this is the landscape plan for the site. It's actually a little different than a normal landscape plan because it's actually a landscape plan depicting exactly what's there now. We didn't really have a landscape plan that had been updated over time with a lot of the revisions from 1984. So they actually produced a landscape plan depicting the exact vegetation as it exists now. And you can't really read it, but there are plants on there. So along with the new lot, the other important revision they're requesting here is actually a change to the way that parking is calculated on the site. What they're requesting basically is to do away with the minimum parking on the plan now, and it's specifically listed on the plan because that's generally how we do PD plans. Sometimes if there's any type of unique circumstance that's different than the code, it'll go on the plan, and that is what regulates the plan, even if the code changes and updates over time. So what they're doing is asking to basically do away with the old calculation and use the new UDC calculation for parking. It's a fairly significant request, just that it has a big change on the number of minimum parking spaces. As you can see here, I did a little bit of a comparison. You see the chart on the right is the differences between the 2007 plan, which is what, you know, is currently in place. The 2019 plan is what we're looking at right now. The way it was calculated then required about 3,600 spaces. And to get to that point, even at the time the 2007 was approved, they actually had to have variances, and there were some creative ways to do the calculations that we don't typically use. One of those would be the calculated gross leasable area as opposed to gross floor area. But they got to a point where they did have the minimum spaces, but it's almost exactly what they need. So what you see out there now for the parking is the bare minimum of parking that's required for the site. So fast forward to 2017, we adopt the UDC. The requirements are different now. So the requirement for large retail structures at this point is going to be one space for every 400 square feet of floor area. Previously, it had been one space for 250 square feet up to a certain point, and then after that, it actually increased to one space for every 200 square feet. So in short, there was a much higher floor, higher threshold for the minimum parking for sites like this. Adopting the UDC, I think, is a good indicator that perceptions have changed about what the city should be doing as far as requiring minimum parking. It was reduced down significantly, almost by half what it was when this was adopted, or the most recent adoption of the 2007 plan. And that, I think, it was very intentional. And staff, one, for that reason, does agree with the proposed change. It is consistent with the UDC as it is now. And because of the change, the reason it was changed is generally because of the trends that I think the viewpoint that the minimum parking that cities should be required previously had been a lot higher than necessary. And so what you have wound up is large paved areas that generally meet the need for peak times, but not necessarily meet the need, but generally sit vacant the majority of the time. And so what you have is a lot of infrastructure being extended and constructed for a very specific small occurrence of peak parking times. So even with this reduction, if you could see, they technically would have an excess of about 1,200 spaces for the required minimum. And it's also a view there that the city should be requiring a lower minimum, and it gives the owners the flexibility then to say how much they feel they need above that minimum, as opposed to city setting the floor so high that that becomes more or less the maximum, per se. So I think it's also important to point out that there is no additional building being constructed with this, so there's no additional demand. So they're not reducing parking spaces at this time. So if there was concern in the future with the building addition, it would go through the same process again. There would be a public hearing, and so we could evaluate the parking again at that time. Aside from those two changes, the new lot and then the reduced minimum parking, they did submit a statement of intent, which had not been submitted originally, given the age of the plan. This generally just takes and carries forward all the permitted uses from 1985 when it was approved and packages them in more of a permitted use list that is consistent with the UDC uses, which is helpful for actually administering what uses are permitted on the site. Everything else is basically carried forward from the original plan. The design adjustment, as I'd stated, is due to the new lot line going through the parking lot and the building. Reviewing the standards, though, for design adjustment, it does not appear that it is creating any type of detrimental impacts. I think it's important to note in this context that it is an existing site, and as opposed to something that has multiple lots in a typical development, you have a lot of lots within a kind of coordinated single shopping center development, which I think is a little more consistent with how usually you see lot lines through parking lots and buildings in these certain situations. So given those reasons, we didn't have any objections to the design adjustment to create the lot as they have proposed. And with all that, staff is recommending approval of the major amendment to the PD plan and then also the associated design adjustment and the statement of intent. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there any, before we move to questions of staff, I would like to ask any commissioner who has had any ex parte prior to this meeting related to this case to please disclose that now so all commissioners have the same information to consider on behalf of this case in front of us.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Rodman.
I would like to ask to be recused from case 176-2019.
I understand.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional comments? Seeing none, are there any questions of staff? Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Planner Smith, I'm looking at the landscaping data. And I keep looking at minimum green space required and minimum green space on the site. I noticed that we're under by about an acre. Could you help me understand that? Am I reading that wrong?
I'd have to take a look at it.
Under landscape data, it has total acreage, minimum green space required, total current green space.
Yeah, excuse me. So the current code minimum is 15%. As part of the 2007 adoption, there actually was a variance to reduce that to the 9.02 acres and the 13.5%. That may not be as clear on there as we could have made it.
All right.
That is kind of the current existing condition for the site.
All right. And this request for major amendment does not trigger anything else in the UDC that would require that to be upgraded to the current standard. Is that correct?
Correct. So in the case of landscaping, they do not have to go in and install additional landscaping unless they are constructing a new structure, and then that would be addressed for the amount of development that is commensurate with the landscaping. So if they built, you know, a new wing on one side, we'd apply the landscaping code to the section that's affected, and they would update the landscape plan for that area. So.
But not the entire site, just the affected area?
Correct.
All right, I just wanted to clarify that because we're going to go there in not too long. All right, thanks.
Any additional questions for staff? I see none, in which case we will open up the floor to public comment on this case. If anyone does have public comments they would like to make, please come forward to the podium. Please give us your name and address for the record.
Elliot Reed with Cochran Engineering, 530A East Independence Drive, Union, Missouri. Clint did an excellent job laying out all the facts of the case, and I'm just here to answer any questions you may have.
Are there any questions for the speaker? Mr. Smith must have done an excellent job. I see no
evidently.
Questions. Any additional comments you would like to add?
No, ma'am.
No? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other speakers? Seeing none, we will close public comments. Commissioner discussion. Mr. McMahon.
I have a question for Planner Smith and perhaps for Manager Zinner also. we're allowing the design adjustment, or potentially allowing a design adjustment that will divide this building, which goes against what we set up in the UDC. I don't necessarily oppose that. I'm just wondering if we're setting up a situation whereby we're going to be giving these out with regularity.
I don't know if I can answer that question as to if it will be with regularity.
I see the need for this in this situation, but is there a test or a criterion that we're going to use to provide this relief in the future?
Not that we have contemplated. This is a planned district, which is a unique animal in and of itself, due to the fact that the regulations have changed. It further complicates probably matters because administrative platting, which may have created the existing lots for Target, Dillard's, Penny's, were done under a different set of code standards that allowed us to create administratively to carve out commercial or industrial or office lots without going back through a process. And because that particular provision has now been removed, a commercial development, any of our non-PD commercial developments, Lowe's, Walmart, Sam's out there at Conley, that is not a planned district. And if this action were proposed there as well, it potentially would result in a similar action. A lot of our major commercial development, however, is actually in plan district, so but it's not nearly as tightly.
It's not cut up as much.
It's not cut up as much. Right. I mean, so you look at our other Walmart sites, for example, our inline shops aren't individually owned, though we do have pad sites that were all part of those original Walmart developments, but they're commonly owned and then they're individually leased. So I haven't given great contemplation to this being a regular occurrence. I think, as Mr. Smith pointed out, if this was coming in from scratch, and we wanted individual lots to be created as part of a more master commercial development, we'd have a different set of standards that we'd be applying as it relates to the Ring Road and a variety of other access requirements that we'd want met in order to ensure that each of the individual internal parcels had their actual own access or defined access. The only development that I can suggest that's anywhere near that is our Blue Ridge Town Center, which is not built with the exception of the Dunkin' Donuts, but it is also a plan district. But as a part of that plan district, there were particular provisions in that district's approval that stated that we wanted a ring road system, and that had to be provided before the first building permit was issued, and we do have that in-house now. So
I wanted to bring this up because as we move forward and ownership patterns change, we may want to have a consistent set of criterion to reference, because otherwise we're going willy-nilly, and you know, we always get accused of, we could face a situation whereby we may be exercising favoritism or not, you know, that type of thing. I just wanted to put that out there, that we need to have some basic broad parameters for these things.
The design criteria, if I can, the design criteria for a design adjustment, which is what this is being processed under, would be applied no differently in any non-plan district case. So from the consistency of how we would evaluate it, which is part of the design adjustment, has got to take into consideration context in which the proposal is occurring. We would likely be here, but not necessarily handling it as part of an overall plan amendment process. And this is because the lot was never shown on the original development plan. It constitutes a major amendment, which is why we're making the plan amendment. And really, the plan amendment's not, in this instance, I think from our perspective as staff, not an unwarranted activity.
And I don't think this is either.
So
I'm just pointing to the future, that's all. Yeah.
We would evaluate it under our design criteria, and I think that would then put it forward to the commission for you to consider as the context appropriate to create the lot, the additional lot over a property line, for example, or a structure. What I will tell you is, in order to address the issue of the parking lot scenario, we are currently in internal discussion as it relates to how we define structure. So structure is not just defined to include parking lot, it's included to be patio, deck, other type of things that are attached or physically attached to the ground. That has created, as a result of the adoption of the UDC, a series of other issues which we would be looking at. I don't believe in this instance, however, even if we didn't have parking lot as considered a structure, we would have potentially been able to have avoided this particular design adjustment. The other thing that we haven't been able to get fully our mind wrapped around either is the idea of creating a taxation parcel, which is not a platting action per se, especially if it occurs after a plat or a building permit has been issued.
So that's where, not only for the private ownership, that's where I was heading for the city's purposes. When we have legal lots drawn and then we have a taxing lot drawn, this can create, and Mr. Caldera can help us with this, this could create a nightmare going forward. That's all. Thank you.
Any additional questions or comments? I would like to underscore Mr. McMahon's comment that if this is a ownership pattern that does appear more, I mean, I'm thinking condos, townhouses in a commercial setting, and we're finding it's rubbing up against the UDC somehow.
Well, and also we've really pushed hard with the UDC, and this is a national trend, to go with mixed use. And we're inviting these type of things, and that's not bad, but we just need to be cognizant of what we're going to do moving forward. That's what I'm...
And, right, creating a set of rules that accommodates it.
Correct.
Rather than trying to continually rub against it. All right, seeing no other comments, is anyone ready to make a motion? Mr. Stanton.
As it relates to case... I move to approve the required major amendment for Columbia Mall PD plan with associated design adjustment and statement and the statement of intent.
Second.
Second by Ms. Russell. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on that motion? I see none. Ms. Burns, may we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Mr. Tuohy.
Yes.
My vote is yes. Ms. Carroll.
Yes.
Ms. Lowe.
Yes.
Mr. McMahon.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Stanton.
Yes.
Ms. Rushing.
Yes.
Ms. Russell.
Yes.
We have 8 and 1 abstention or excused, so motion carries.
Thank you. Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council. That concludes our public hearing portion of the evening. We will move on to comments of the public. Seeing none, we will move on to comments of staff.
The comments of staff are that you have another meeting on September 19th. One item has been shifted to that agenda as we discussed this evening, 180-2019. And we have several other items on the agenda here, as you see, 5 more. We have a gaggle that are a combination of public hearing and subdivision. These are all dealing with a combination of permanent zoning and rezoning off of Clark Lane at the Clark Lake of the Woods roundabout. This is the parcel that's directly to the west of the gas station, Bank and Sonic, and it has a corresponding preliminary plat to go along with it. That'll obviously be contingent upon the permanent zoning issue being dealt with, which has the annexation, of course, that council will be dealing with. And then we have 2 additional public hearings. It seems to be the time of the season for planned district amendments. Sidra Subdivision, which is up off of Route E or Stadium North, is proposed to come in and make a couple of plan changes for some new structures, one of which is carports, and then the second being solar panels for this particular residential development. And then we have a rezoning request that is off of Green Meadows right at Gray Oak Drive. So this is in the what would be the south or the northeast corner. If you're familiar with where the Walmart is out there, this is the parcel immediately behind Walmart, south of or to the west of Gray Oak. So those are your 6 cases that are on the agenda, just so we can get ourselves situated again graphically. Our State Farm Parkway project, the Armstrong Unitrust, this is the rezoning. This is a city parcel of property currently that's zoned ag that is part of the overall proposed preliminary plat for this property. That is a rezoning from ag to MC. And then the permanent zoning parcel here that is on the left, this is again under the same Unitrust ownership. This is a permanent zoning request, again, county ag, if I'm not incorrect, or CG, to a city MC. So county commercial, their general commercial, which is comparable to our mixed-use commercial. And that would be subject, of course, to an annexation being considered and approved by council. The plat, then, as you can see, includes all of the parcels that are split between the zoning, the permanent zoning, and then the rezoning of our current city property. And that would create a 3 or 4 lot development or proposed development. And then, of course, our Sidra parcel here that's up off of Route E, north across from our Lake of the, or not Lake of the Woods, our golf course. And then the Gray Oak Drive request here for our last item that will be on the agenda on the 19th. As we discussed tonight in our work session, we have completed discussion on 2 major projects that we have been Had before the Planning and Zoning Commission, a couple of tweaks left to at least our short-term rental proposed regulations that will be brought forth on our October 10th meeting. We will have a public facing version of that ordinance language available and out on our website probably within the next week to week and a half after we've had an opportunity to make final tweaks as discussed this evening. And then public public meeting will be held, a public hearing will be held, at which time the public will be able to speak before the commission and their comments as well as the commission's recommendation on the components of the short-term rental regulations will be forwarded to council. And then at the end of October, we will be bringing forward the second item that we have been working on quite extensively, and that is the Rock Quarry Stakeholder Group report as it relates to the Scenic Rock Quarry Road overlay. And its general plan recommendations, and that will be again on the second meeting in October. Just to ensure that we are all on the same page as it relates to commission elections for officers, that also is coming up here, and I will go back to our bylaws to determine if that is our next meeting during work session or if it will be our first meeting in October. I can't remember right now off the top of my head. So that is coming up. Get your ballot writing hand ready and get ready to elect your favorite commissioner to the next post of leadership. Other than that, we have no further questions. Be thankful we are not on the East Coast because they're still getting rain. But I appreciate your time this evening and your attention and work session. It has been enjoyable to finally bring together two of our major projects and be able to start to focus on some of the other issues that we have to bring before you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Zenner. Commissioner comments. Mr. McMahon.
If there are no comments, I have a motion. I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Second by Ms. Russell. We are adjourned.